Can I ask a disrespectful question of my own?
Sure.
I think very highly of Jrue Holiday. Would signing Keon Ellis just be a better option?
Depends.
Jrue Holiday is a better point guard.
He is.
Which is what you're kind of looking for.
Yeah, Jrue's still a much better player. Jrue's still like a level above Keon. I don't doubt that at all.
I'm not questioning that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. 3 years, 36 and some change per year, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm comparing it to. Mm-hmm. Less Jrue Holiday and more, and I hate doing this, but more Jrue Holiday, 100 plus mil, and Keon Ellis, 30. I don't know what Keon. I have no idea what Keon's going to make.
No, I feel you.
Is Keon Ellis a point guard, though? Like, do we want to do that again?
Probably not. But I guess maybe a better way. Is he your best option?
Keon?
No.
Or Jrue?
Yeah.
I don't think he's the best option. I think he's a rumor that we heard this weekend.
Well, so it depends on.
But he's a guy we've talked about, though.
Yeah,
he's a guy when it was falling apart for Boston, or but after it fell apart, it was like, hey,
the deal would also be like DeMar for Jrue, right?
Yeah,
DeMar, I'm sure,
or three teamer or whatever you got to do at that point.
Yeah, because I don't know how much DeMar fits on the Celtics and how much they like to shoot threes and just kind of live on the perimeter and all that.
Yeah, whatever the three team, if it's a three team or something like that. But here's the thing that I want people to be real with themselves about. Shout out TC. Like, you keep talking about a point guard. They need a point guard. They need defense. Where else? I don't want to say where else are you going to find that, but that's what he brings. Everything that everybody talked about. Somebody that doesn't need the ball in the offense. Somebody that's a perimeter defender to help out Keegan. Somebody that balances out the roster. Find another point guard who's going to do that.
Fine. Shea.
Got me.
Got it.
If they were to trade for Jrue, is the core three LaVine, Sabonis, and Jrue for however long? Like, that's your top three?
Well, for another year.
Well, yeah, going into next season, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Should there be an exploration of younger point guards with the idea maybe they're not as skilled as Jrue Holiday is in the 2024-5 campaign, mm-hmm. but maybe the year after that, with the thinking of you have another full year of Zach LaVine's contract, and this immovable contract of Zach LaVine suddenly becomes very, very movable for teams that are trying to get off money, get under the apron, teams that might be blowing it up, teams that might just desperately need a score. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, that $46 million for a single season or whatever, the $50 million, whatever it is for Zach LaVine, suddenly is very attractive to multiple teams. And now you're using these different assets you've had that maybe are a little bit older to get a little bit younger. Maybe none of that works. Maybe that's all wishful thinking, and maybe that's some sort of version of retooling and rebuilding without tearing down and completely restructuring. I'm not sure. I could be making all that up, and it's never happened in the history of the NBA. But.
So let me throw some names out there and see what you guys think about this. I went to 2027 point guard free agents. So that's 25. This is two summers from now. That's because I don't think you're going to be able to get. I'm just trying to be realistic with the DeRozan trade. I don't think somebody's going to give you an expiring contract in the DeMar DeRozan trade. Like, you're going to have to take a player or something that somebody's looking at like, hey, we got to get off some money or get off this player or something like that. So here are some of the point guards. I won't even deal with Steph, Dame, Luka, SGA. Jrue's right there. DeJounte Murray, coming off the Achilles. Would you rather try to trade for him?
No.
Cole Anthony.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, I give that one a thought.
Yeah. I like Cole Anthony. I don't hate that.
Yeah, I like Cole Anthony. You're not getting schooled.
Yeah, I don't think he's better, by the way. Right. I don't think Cole Anthony is better than Drew Holiday.
You're not getting schooled. You're not getting Stephon Castle. You're not getting the men. You're not getting Lonzo. Not getting Rob Dillingham. Cason Wallace is here. You're not getting him. Now we're at Devin Carter.
Fine.
Devin Carter, Chris Dunn. You know, guys like that. Like Jose Alvarado. I don't know if you're going to find. Cole Anthony might be the one. But I don't know if you're going to find a point guard that fits everything that everybody was complaining they wanted just a couple months ago.
You're taking DeMar off this team, adding Drew. Who else is doing the scoring besides LaVine, though?
You gotta hope Keegan scores a little bit more. You gotta hope Sabonis steps his game up.
Keon's gotta be more consistent scorer, assuming, of course, that he's here.
Malik Monk is gonna have to get back to, you know, being that
energizer
off the bench.
What does that trade even look like? DeMar and who? Because probably not DeMar by himself.
For DeMar, like the Celtics, the Drew one?
Yeah.
It's DeMar, yeah. DeMar for Drew that works.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. I think the idea would be the Celtics essentially just wanting to shed money.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out what's the rules. Can the Celtics do that as a second apron team? Can they just shed money without taking, like, without it? Because what? It's got to get to 80% of the contract. The salaries have to match up to at least the 80%.
Yeah.
So that reaches the 80% threshold.
Yeah, James, I think, said the deal worked straight up this morning on the insiders.
Okay.
Or something along the lines of that. And yeah, the idea would be like DeMar is Celtic for 1 year and then you're off his money the year after that.
Just to humor everybody, we can go. Well, this is a name I like. We'll go to people that, quote unquote, may be expiring this year. Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart.
No, I'm probably never going to say no to that, but
I'll say no to Marcus. I like Marcus Smart, actually, though. No, you don't. And he's expiring.
You've hated Marcus Smart since this show was
true.
Started.
That's not
you don't like Marcus Smart, the point guard. Yeah. Evidence.
That's not true. I like Marcus Smart. I'd take Marcus Smart.
Sure, why does that bum keep taking all those shots from Tatum at the end of the game?
I'd take Marcus Smart here in a heartbeat. I don't think he's a point guard, though. I think he's combo guard slash shooting guard. Yeah.
And I don't know that we want to get ourselves in trouble doing that again.
Yeah. No thanks. Marcus, but
we need an organizer.
Colin Sexton. We've talked about him before.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that name better
Colin
than
Sexton. I like Colin Sexton a lot.
Yeah.
Of the Cleveland Cavaliers, right?
The Cavs.
Shout out, Mitch.
That's really about
What's
it.
Colin Sexton's deal look like?
Let's pull him up. I think he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Oh.
So this year's an expiring.
Yeah, 19.1 next year, huh?
I'd really try to go after Colin Sexton.
I do not hate that at all.
Well, that kind of fits, because if it's not working with LaVine and those guys, like it fits the timeline if it's time to move on. Or maybe it works.
I think I keep saying I like Colin Sexton. I think he can. He's still young enough. I like his game. I think he brings an equal amount of intensity on both the defensive end and the offensive end. I'm in favor of Colin Sexton being in Sacramento.
I like that one better than Drew Holiday for the Kings.
Better than Drew?
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I like that, too. I mean, Colin would be 27. Mm-hmm. Or Colin will be 27 next year. All right, we did it.
Great job, well done. Let's go home, everyone.
Stealth, the producer.
See you guys in July.
He says Giddy not workable, huh? Our guy, Drake UU, big, big Josh Giddy fan. And Josh Giddy went crazy in the final month and a half of the season. Like, he was putting up crazy numbers for the Bulls to end the season. My concern with that is, once again, people say they want defense. Now you got a backcourt of Giddy and LaVine on the defensive end. That doesn't fit what everybody's been talking about. So that would be my my concern with Giddy. And Drake, like I said, he would hit me up like, yo, Giddy. I'd be like, no, get Giddy out of here. I don't want Giddy. And I just started watching him. That man was balling at the end of the season. Like, he was going crazy. So, man, I'm not against it, but that also brings another problem to the forefront of backcourt defense.
Let's start with how Doug and Scott Perry want to build this team.
Colin Sexton might fit the mold.
Colin Sexton might be the closest. Mm-hmm. Jrue Holiday is a great fit too. I think there are two hangups with Jrue Holiday for Kings fans: age and contract. Because you know you have to pay it. Mm-hmm. Kings fans have to pay it when you acquire someone. So, I think those are the two things that are standing out most about Jrue Holiday.
I agree.
Love the idea of Colin Sexton, though. There might be a little, I don't know if reservation is the right word, because it's a 1 year. Mm-hmm. Yo, let's go out there. Let's do this right now. You need it to work. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine there's any scenario where Sacramento winds up the only team in the Colin Sexton business after the year.
Maybe.
Because he's
maybe.
Unrestricted free agent, you said, right?
He's unrestricted.
I just closed it. I pulled up Josh Giddey.
He's unrestricted.
Yeah.
But remember when, what was the scenario where nobody wanted to sign Colin Sexton? Was it after a trade or he was a restricted free agent with Cleveland? But remember, he was just kind of, he had come off the ACL tear. So there was that. But yeah, nobody wanted Colin Sexton for whatever reason.
That's when he was with Cleveland, right?
I think so.
That's when he was still with Cleveland.
I think so. And Cleveland was like making moves, trying to get better. And I guess we'll just re-sign him and use him as an asset. And that's what they did.
That's what they did.
Yeah. What do you think Scott Perry and Doug would say if we asked them what the long-term plan is here as far as building out the roster?
I don't think they'd tell us. I don't know. Like, my thing is...
Like what do you think they're, like, they tell each other? Like, what do you think their plan is?
Is my thinking, like, flawed in that you try to get younger with the older assets that you have and use them as, like, best you can? DeMar is going to have suitors, and we'll talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. DeMar is going to have teams that want to acquire him.
Yeah.
You've got to pick and choose. Like, obviously, money has to work. It's got to work through the league and all of that, but... You've got to pick. You don't want to bring back another 36-year-old, right? Ideally, you'd like to bring someone back.
Ideally, yes.
Roughly a decade younger.
Ideally, yes. I think they're going to try to win games, and they're going to reshape this roster while winning games. I think that's what they're going to try to do. I don't think they're in the business of losing, like we talked about. There are some holes. There are some things they want to change. But I think they're going to try to win, be a playoff team, and reshape this roster while winning.
Audrey and Jaden, same thinking as me. Do you think DeMar could get you a Jaime Jaquez type?
I don't know if he can get you Jaime and a first rounder. I think he
not a first rounder. Besides the first rounder, my question was just the Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll talk more about DeMar and some of the rumblings that were out there this weekend as well.
And I'm not even going to save it for Bumper to Dub. This is outside of Bumper to Dub because we're talking about it. I want to present something to the people like, how are they going to get this done? Like, they just need to tank. I'm going to present something.
Plus Bumper to Dump It. Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Jesse was talking about McDonald's. I had to chuckle. I gave, I told you, crumble cookie is a thing at the house. Mm-hmm. And Abby's 16, has got her own cart. It's like she pulls up the menu every day. She's like, we doing this? And she hit me last night. She was like, hey, the lineup's fire. So, all right, let's do it. So I leave her the card. She goes and she's like, hey, what are we doing for dinner? I was like, well, we kind of barbecue. We ate a little late. The little one's already passed out. Like, you could just go, you and your friend go grab something to eat while you're out, whatever. And it's cool. Mm-hmm. I just chuckle because, if you can program it to pop up on your phone when the thing is used. So I see the crumble charge come through. All right. And she was right. Lineup is fire this week. Oh, my God. And then the second charge comes through, and it was McDonald's. And I just thought it was funny. I just gave her my card. Like, yeah, no, go get whatever you want to eat. And she went to McDonald's.
Nah, McDonald's broke my heart.
It was also $19.
Oh, that's on, the man. Thing. See, on, hey, I'm not going back to that damn place again.
That's what I had. Hey, that's the revelation I had when I got breakfast.
You know how much three regular hamburgers, a large fry, and a large high C cost me? $16. Used to be like 10 Bro, bucks.
That's crazy. Like, when that charge popped up, it had said, no, I heard it too.
Yeah.
I heard it too.
What?
Three regular hamburgers? Yeah. It cost $16.
The hamburgers used to be like $1.50. The hamburgers used to be like $1.50 back then.
What are you talking about? Like, you got a Happy Meal. Yes, three hamburgers, a large fry, and a large
$16. No, what are you doing? No, it used to be on my side. Hell no. That used to be on the value menu.
Matter of fact, you might have got off light.
No, that used to be value menu.
Oh, hold on. Can we talk about the three hamburger part?
Yeah, I don't really like the chicken sandwiches or what McDonald's got.
Was they all for you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, what? How many hamburgers should I be eating?
Two max.
Nah, three.
Okay.
It was late night eats.
Two max. Okay.
All right. Yeah, you know, let
that
Jesse
sounds
talk.
About right, though, Jesse. $16.
No, see, you're right. Kind of turning heel on me now.
Oh, man.
Like, Kyle Renata, like, wow. I missed the dollar menu. That's all that was. It was the dollar menu.
Nah, dollar menu used to be fire. Dollar menu used to be fire. I think when I don't want to get like a full meal, I'll get a double cheeseburger, medium or small fry. And typically I get the large drink because they're all supposed to be all a dollar. I don't know if that's the case anymore. But, you know, it's $8, $9. It's $8, $9.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, shout out to McDonald's, man. I like McDonald's still. I don't eat it as much because I try not to, but it's still good. Like, it's still bomb. Fries are still A1.
I'm gonna just throw my next meal on Afterpay or something. I'll just pay it off in installments.
That's what you got to do. The whole point of it is you can't go nowhere. Like, you can't go nowhere. It's like, I'm not gonna go to McDonald's because it's too expensive. Where am I gonna go? Carl's Jr.
No, well, really thing, it was either that anywhere. Or In-N-Out, and I was like, the line of In-N-Out's got to be way longer, so I'll just chill here for a bit.
In-N-Out is still In-N-Out. You get a good bang for your buck there.
It's still for the people.
Yeah, you still get a good bang for your buck. I mean, Wendy's is like that too. But Wendy's, they got to step their game up. At least the one by the crib.
Biggie bag fell off.
It did.
I always love our semi-regular funeral of the fast food.
I can't believe Casey attacked me like that over
there.
Well,
I mean, six. I thought you were going to say 26.
No, it should be the hamburgers used to be like no more than like $4 for the three of them. The fries is what cost me the most. And now it's like the game has changed, bro.
The fries, the large fries, probably $5.
The app wasn't working for me either. It wasn't loading fast enough, so I didn't get to use that. I panicked.
The app is a good look, though. The app, they've worked a way to get you to keep coming back with that app. Because, you get something. You got a free fry.
This is the thing. I had a large free large fry on the app and didn't load fast enough. I was like, it still would have been hella money, though.
Yeah. I don't use the app. I probably should. Jazz uses the app a lot. Just go up there, say your little number, get the food right there. Mm-hmm. It's a good look.
So this is like fast food became faster food?
Yeah.
Okay.
They used to do the app back then when I was in college where if you just created a new account, they'd give you a free sandwich.
Wait, what Cole talking about? Free Fry Fridays? I don't know nothing about that.
Wow. Young Zell threw that in there too.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, Free Fry Friday.
I'm about to get it.
It's hard. Like, we had concerts in the park. We got there early. We went to that Mexican joint that's like at the park.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was we went the week before too, but we went like after the show. This week we went before the show. And it wasn't like expensive, like crate, but it was like $100. And we ordered like an alcoholic beverage, but it was also like, man, we really can't go anywhere.
Can't get away from
like
it.
The tacos was $20. Like we really can't go anywhere without just dropping $100 like it's nothing.
Well, now
I was immediately mad. I was like, yo, we gotta go work. We just paid $100 worth of chips and tacos.
Well, now the places they'll try to do it like it's expensive, but hey, if you get this meal for this price, it's like that's just what the old price used to be. Now you're just taxing me like I'm stupid.
That's what happens. Yeah, you can't go anywhere, man. So I'm a go where I like.
Legit learned how to cook because of all this.
Mm.
Well,
shout out to the Blackstone.
So real quick, and we'll get to sports.
Well, no, because I got one more cooking thing I got
to
tell y'all.
The other day, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to eat or whatever and where we wanted to go. And Jazz was like, oh, man, you know, instead of spending all this money in a fast food place, why don't I go to Safeway, you know, get some sandwich bread. We make some subs. You know, we'll cook in. We'll make some subs. She got everything that we needed, like whether it was chips, the sandwich bread, whatever we needed. It's like $65. $65. Yeah. We're trying to do the right thing. Go to the grocery store. Don't eat out. Why not at this point? Just why not?
Hey, Andre's got it right here. You know how damn bad we are that Chili's is like the one. Hey. What's the meme where it's the lady with the umbrella? Like, hey, I got you. Come on. Yeah. Like, that's Chili's for us right
Shout
now.
Shout out Chili's. They're doing their thing. Applebee's does their thing, too. See, here's the only problem is they put this stuff in the styrofoam when you get it to go.
Yeah.
And it sogs and so it makes the fries soggy and stuff. And it's
you got to hit the air fryer after that.
That's a good point.
It's just the way the game goes now.
It's a good point. That might be the move. Chili's might be the new fast food.
Their burgers
are bomb, though. Chili's burgers.
We're down bad, bro. Like, I know you don't have these problems. We're down bad. Babe, you want to go on a date? Yeah, all right, we're going to Chili's.
Chili's is bomb, bro. Chili's, I enjoy the food every time I go to Chili's. I don't get a steak, so I don't know how that tastes. But the burgers, yeah, I'm with that.
Shout out John Poles. You guys are sick. Never said I was healthy when I went to McDonald's either.
Look, I'm old as hell at this point. I'm just fine.
Still standing, still strong.
Good.
I told you I was going to cook over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, your boy did that.
Mm.
So I was cooking for, the family in Io and you know, just had some kids over. And it was perfect, right? Well, you know, Io, he's late for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I had put the ribs on the grill, and I was like, hey, you hear from Io? He was like, yeah, they're getting ready now. I'm like, well, we probably got about 2.5-3 hours then. I'm going to try to make these ribs this way I was reading about. So I pulled them off the grill. They had a nice little look to them. Mm-hmm. Put some butter and some sauce on foil. Put the ribs on them, wrap them in foil, put them back on the grill, and put the thermometer in, was waiting for 205. Thermometer goes off, Io and the crew arrives, take them off, let them sit. Everybody's eating the little appetizers, and I'm like, all right, we're just about ready. The chicken's done. I'm going to go put everything out, and I'm going to cut these ribs up for everybody.
Mm.
Open that foil, went to cut the ribs, and the bone just pulled. I was like, started. I was like, oh, they just fell apart. One of the best sessions on the grill I've ever had.
Mm,
that joint just like that. Fell apart.
I like
put
that.
It in there, poured the sauce back over. Oh, yeah. Absolutely killed it.
I like that.
Absolutely
shout
killed
out,
it.
Shout out D-Lo, the grill master. Now, I had some ribs yesterday, and I don't know if this is a bad take by me or not. I'm not saying I don't eat the ribs with the barbecue sauce, but I'm not hyped about ribs with barbecue sauce. Give me the rubbed ribs 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
Out
no,
of
for
100.
Sure. Yeah. No, I got you. That's a. I wanted to do a couple slabs of each, but I lost confidence. Like I did, I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to pull off the dry rub.
Okay.
Pause.
No.
So,
hey, no, you can't. You're going to what? Where's my flag? Casey.
Hey.
I got
hey.
You.
No. Hey, too much you. Time has passed.
I got you.
Man.
Come on, man. Wow. Flags all over.
Wow.
I can't do it again.
But I said pause.
Pull off nothing, bro.
But I said pause.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
I lost my confidence. So I went with the sauce and the whole deal.
I don't want to say I don't like the sauce because like I said, they made some specifically for me yesterday. They had the dry rub joints, and then they had the ones with the barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And I went for seconds, and they had, I was like, that's good, but it ain't.
Let me get extra barbecue sauce with mine.
Oh, No, not for your boy. Not for your boy. Dry rub, boss.
All right. Did you want to talk about DeMar first or the tanking teams first?
No, let's talk about the tanking teams because, okay. Like I said, I had this in Bump It or Dump, but it's topical right now. Okay. I don't even want to mess around. I saw an article that's titled basically "The Pacers Refuse to Tank and It's Paying Off," and they kind of talked about the history of the Pacers, and they talked about how between Tyrese Halliburton now and Reggie Miller in the past. I watched Winning Time over the weekend. That was really good. I'd seen it before, but that's a good.
You rewatched it?
Yeah.
Oh, Winning Time, the 30 for 30. Yeah, got it.
That was some good stuff.
Yeah.
They said the Pacers are separated by about three decades of between those two. Herb Simon, the owner, has been the team's owner through both eras. Simon purchased the Pacers in 83, 4 years before the team selected Reggie Miller with the 11th pick. Under Simon, Indiana has avoided tanking or bottoming out in the standings to get a high draft pick. The Pacers have won under 30 games just once since 1990, four seasons ago, the same year they traded for Halliburton midseason to become their new centerpiece. The Pacers have not selected in the top five of any draft in the same time frame. They didn't even have a pick in the single digits until they selected Benedict Mathurin, number six in 2022. Think about what we're seeing right now with this Pacers team. It's not a tanking team. Think about what we're seeing right now with the New York Knicks. We've broken that down before. It's not a tanking team. I'm not here to tell you tanking doesn't work. We have our thoughts about it, but the thought process, the idea of tanking, I get. But the fact that people think that's the only way to get where they want the Kings to go is just false, and there's a number of different teams that show you that. And that's where I come from when I talk about Scott Perry and Doug Christie. They can work this roster and work to get it to where they want it to be, still trying to win, and be successful. Like the roster as is right now, yeah, you may not see any hope. But these guys can work the roster, and that can include LaVine, that can include Sabonis, that can include Malik Monk, and adding the right pieces around where this team can be successful damn near as is. Like, obviously, like the outer pieces got to be worked on. But it absolutely can happen. And I'm like I said, it's people label me as optimistic. The Pacers are showing you. They made a trade for Halliburton, but they got Miles Turner.
They built around
him.
Get Miles Turner, they re-signed Miles Turner when everyone thought Miles Turner was going to be traded. They re-signed him, I assume, with the idea, because if my timeline is correct, I don't think I'm off on this. They acquired Ty. They signed Miles Turner that offseason.
I think so.
Then acquired Pascal Siakam that February or that trade deadline period.
Yep.
So they had committed to Miles Turner already at that point. Maybe they didn't know that they were for sure that they could get Pascal Siakam. Maybe that was a vision of theirs. Maybe that was a guy that they wanted to target. Maybe it was whatever. Maybe it was something that they saw along the way during the season is like, this is a move we need to make. But it feels like if it wasn't a foolproof plan, they at least had an idea of what they wanted to do and chose to execute it.
Right.
And clearly, two Eastern Conference Finals appearances in a row, it's working for
Jumbo
with a real chance to win an NBA championship this year.
Jumbo has it right here, and I'm more worried about the last part of his statement. He says, like, you talk about tanking being a math problem and all that stuff, but he says if your talent evaluation bad, it doesn't matter, and that's literally what it's been for the Kings.
We ran down
the picks this morning. Like, you didn't need to tank to have an opportunity to draft De'Aaron Fox and Bam, or De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell, Luka, insert player. Like, it's literally simple, just making the right decisions.
That's all it is. That's all it is. You look at this Pacers roster, you got guys like Nembhard. Nembhard's a second-round pick. T.J. McConnell was, I think, undrafted, and he had been on multiple teams. They went out and got him. Aaron Nesmith was given up on in this league. Mm-hmm. You look at Ben Shepherd, he's a late first round pick. Like, if you know what you're doing, you can put a team out there that can compete and be successful. And
Ben Shepherd with an elite mustache, by the way. That's
big
time.
That's
elite.
Big time.
He looks like he's 12 and he has a mustache.
Shout out to him.
Yeah.
But when people talk about the future of this team, mm-hmm. and like, I don't see the future. One of the futures of this team is you got a guy in the front office, and I'll speak for myself only, that I believe understands talent and understands roster building. That's the future. And right now, in this case, the future isn't a 22-year-old superstar that you have. The future is you have a guy that knows what he's doing, making the decisions. For the first time in a decade, more than a decade?
Well, it's a lot more than a decade, but that's, you know, discounting, you know, the last front office.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we had a front office that knew what they were doing. And maybe they did at first. Like they, I mean, maybe the front off, maybe the Monty McNair regime boils down to making one move. Or, well, I was going to say, or two, thinking about Kevin Huerter, when in reality, that was a disaster that the Kings are paying for right now. Mm-hmm. But Malik.
Mm.
They were able to land Malik Monk. They were able to re-sign Malik Monk.
Yeah.
No matter how you feel about him today, last year at this time, everyone was terrified.
Right.
That he was going to go somewhere else.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I guess it just depends on how you feel about that front office. But regardless of whether it's the first time in the last decade and a half, or you know, you just believe Scott Perry is at a, you know, a higher level than Monty McNair and Scott Wes Wilcox, it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that's just something that I saw that was pretty interesting. I knew the Pacers had a story history of staying competitive and staying relative, but I didn't know it was like that. Like they literally do not tank, and they've gotten to. I mean, if you go through what he's talking about, the writer was talking about, they've gone to five conference, maybe even more than that, maybe 5 to 7 conference finals during that span. You have your Reggie time. Mm. Then they went to a conference finals with the Paul George, Roy Hibbert. And now they've had back-to-back conference finals with this Halliburton incarnation of the Pacers without ever tanking, without being a big market, without signing like these super-duper free agents.
Mm-hmm.
It can.
That's
it
what
can,
a 26-year, 7-year period.
Mm-hmm. It can happen if, once again, like John Bull pointed out, Jesse pointed out, you've said a number of different times, you just get guys in here that's knowing what they're doing, mm-hmm. and that's the hope with Scott Perry.
Let's see what TC's talking about here. 916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, big dog? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, just vibing, tapping in with the homies, listening to a bunch of food. Before we get started, though, on the Kings, Kenny, you a fool. You only like the rub, man. Hey, you got to have barbecue. So, well, you know what? I take that back. If the ribs is falling off the bone, right?
Yeah.
If they falling off the bone like D-Lo talking about, D-Lo, you have some bomb ribs, bro. I get it, the rub. But you need barbecue sauce in them things, man.
No, I don't need no barbecue sauce. And they were falling off the ribs yesterday. Shout out to Jazz. Shout out to my mom. They was falling off the rib yesterday. Yesterday. Yeah, well, I'll let you
see. You wilding out right now. I'm going to tell you that right now. CC, you just got tossed.
What's up, man?
Hey, check it out, though. So, and then the Drew Holiday, that's what we're talking about. I get it. The defense, we want the defense, right? Trae Young, Kings fans, look, like, we're not in a predicament to say, like, what's too much for a player. It's really about where he needs to get to, or getting whoever where they need to get to, and getting the pieces back to Sac. I know it sounds super cliche, bro, but that's how it is, man. It's about getting the players we need to get in. So if we got to attach a first to DeRozan to get the guy in that we want our guys in, we got to make that move, bro. That's all I'm saying.
I feel TC. Appreciate TC, man. I feel him. I'm not crazy about the idea of attaching a first. That's where I always kind of That's my breaking point, so to speak. Because I think one of the things that Scott Perry, BJ Armstrong, Doug Christie, all these guys need to start doing is starting to accumulate assets. And it might take you an offseason, this offseason, maybe a trade deadline, maybe next offseason to start to accumulate the assets that you need, like a gang of second rounders, maybe one or two more future first, all this other stuff. And that's how you go get the big fish. And I'm not crazy about moving on from any first right now, mm-hmm. this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to do that for Jrue Holiday either.
Mm. Nah, I don't think so. Mm. We're helping you out. Let's call it what it is.
You need to do that for Colin?
No, he's expiring.
Okay, just checking. You know how Danny gets. Not Danny in San Francisco, Danny Ainge.
Yeah, like on an expiring contract, you can't do that.
No, I agree.
Unless it's one of those Siakam situations. Unless you know that's your guy, and I don't think there's any situation where that's the case with Colin Sexton. Mm-hmm. But unless you know that's your guy, and you're going to offer him exactly what his agent is asking for, and you know he's going to be with you for the foreseeable future, then you could trade your first-round picks.
It may be...
The little wink-winks.
It may be pie in the sky. This might have been a questionable rumor out there, but do you think you have to attach a first-rounder for R.J. Barrett? Because we heard his name floated around as possibly somebody the Kings might be interested in.
I'm going to say no.
I think you do, because I don't know why, like, what's the benefit in Toronto taking on DeMar if you're sending out RJ? Like, I guess unless you're just trying to shed money again?
Toronto, going back home.
Well, we had talked
DeMar
about
DeMar is back.
We had talked about this during the break about, like, the other aspect of all these trades is, like, is that somewhere DeMar wants to go? Like, send him to New Orleans. Like, hey, sending DeMar DeRozan to New Orleans. I don't think you're sending him to Toronto.
I don't think so either. Let's see what Ishmael's got to say. He always got good stuff to talk about. Ishmael, what's good, baby?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Good. I wanted to just touch on the point of success without tanking. I mean, we've seen a lot of great players that are mid-lottery picks, SGA, Halliburton, Kawhi, Paul George. So you don't need to be pick 1, 2, and 3, obviously, and, you know, reset everything to succeed. The reason I prefer that for the Kings, though, is because I think our roster that's constructed is on the older side, and we're so far from being competitive at, like, a real playoff level. So I would be very comfortable with, like, shipping as many of these guys out as we can that are over, like, you know, 28. I'm talking Sabonis, LaVine, DeMar. It's not going to be easy, of course. But in terms of trading our future picks, I think we should really, really avoid doing that, especially for people like, you know, your RJ Barrett of the world where, yeah, it'll improve the team, but our ceiling is still really, really low. I think other than Keon and Keegan, I think anyone else that gets traded this offseason, I'm cool with that. But the main thing is just like the Pacers continuity you were talking about earlier, their GM's been on the job for 8 years. Sam Presti's been on the job for over a decade. I think if we back Scott Perry and he's allowed to maneuver knowing he's not going to get, you know, the like fired or anything, like Monty McNair, he drafted Halliburton. Then he trades him for an older player. Is that because he felt pressure from management, playoffs or bust, and then had to do it? Or was that his own free will? So I think if we back Scott Perry and treat him, you know, with respect, be like, hey, man, you got... this is your team, take your time, do what you have to do, then I don't think we have to tank or anything like that. I think he can then build a team at his own pace, but I'd be interested to hear what you guys got to say. I think it comes down to continuity from the top down above anything this offseason.
That and Ish, I agree with you. I agree with you, and maybe we'll touch on a little bit more, but yeah. The Sam Presti and whoever's in Indiana, they're good. Mm-hmm. Monty McNair wasn't no good. Vladdy wasn't no good. Pete D'Alessandro was awful. Mm-hmm. Like, so yes, you need continuity, but you need people that know what they're doing. And it's not always like the boogeyman of Uncle V saying meddling and doing all this other stuff. These guys, we've laid out a number of different times how we think these things play out. It gives you an opportunity to show that you're worth your salt. And once you've proven that you're not, that's when he starts to jump in my opinion. So I don't think that's going to be an issue with Scott Perry. I think he has the respect of Vivek Ranadive, and he'll have the opportunity to do what he needs to do. But those other guys, they got continuity because they're good at their job.
Really great stuff from Ish as always right there. We'll come back. Trista Crick at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll dive a little bit more into this continuity conversation with Sacramento.
Continuity, as Coach Mike used to say.
Yeah, that's what he used to say. Used to. Steelo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Paul Heyman hitting him with the death row picture.
Yo, they're...
I cannot, they're trying. By the way, I cannot get
excited.
That's a
solid faction.
Is it?
Yeah.
Bronson, what's his name? Bronson Reed?
Bronson Reed. Like, Bronson Reed was dope when he was jumping on everybody or whatever. The tsunami move, I think he was calling it. Like, Seth is dope. I think Bron Breakker's next, but...
I mean, they're
trying. That almost got me to tune in.
Bron Breakker, who is really good, is he just... what's old boy's name? Braun Strowman?
No. He's way better than
that. You know what I'm going to ask? This is why I think Jacob is the one. You got to be able to get on that mic.
What if he's on the mic, but he sounds like Scott Steiner? Does that still work?
I like Scott Steiner.
All right, then we can cook with that then.
Man.
Scott Steiner.
You would.
He cracks me
you
up.
You would like Scott
Braun's been
Steiner.
Dope since NXT, though.
Shout out to Caitlin Clark. The WNBA threw itself through the barbershop window over the weekend. She came up with a hamstring injury. The TV schedule is now in shambles as she, not a hamstring, a quad,
yeah.
As she, you know, looks to be out maybe two weeks.
Yeah. Might be one of those things where she's reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Did you see the end of the Liberty Fever game?
I saw the very last play.
Yeah. So you said, was she fouled?
No.
Okay, I saw it from, like, the TV angle was like, I don't know how, like, she's really pissed. Mm-hmm. Then I saw it from the fan angle. I was like, is she yelling at the ref because she's got the ball stolen from her? Like, I could. And then, and I know the bigger post-game conversation wasn't so much about that one single play from Natasha Cloud. Mm-hmm. It was more of the way the game, there was a Dawana Bonner play. It was the way the game was officiated in the last, like, minute or two that it favored. I'm not saying purposely. It certainly leaned towards the New York Liberty in the final 90 seconds or so. But I saw that last play, and I was just baffled. Like, I kept watching it like, oh, I can't even see what happened. It, like, Tasha must have hooked her. Mm. Looked at then they had the fan view, which is, like, just dead on the play. It's like, oh, she just stole the ball from her.
That's it.
Like, that's what Natasha Cloud does.
Yeah, that's it. That was a great defensive play. It happened.
And Sophie was the one who got me because she couldn't see anything. And she was like, hey! I was like, well, God, if she saw it, like, something terrible must have happened. Nothing happened.
Yeah, no, she was just a great defensive play.
It was. And that's what she does. Yeah. That's what Cloud does.
Yeah, and that's big up to the Liberty.
Undefeated.
They undefeated, looking like we might get a repeat of the WNBA Finals. But also, shout out to the Fever. I mean, I thought this before the injury. I think maybe they could sustain, and hopefully she comes back fine. But that's a championship contender.
Yeah, Minnesota's very good. Indiana's, I think Caitlin said it in the post game. Like, it feels like we're two plays away from being 4-0.
Yeah, that is a championship contender. So big ups to them. I wanted to ask you something real quick. It just popped in my head as we're talking about Caitlin. And L. Duncan was on Bomani Jones's podcast last week, and I was listening to it, and they were just talking about, like, Bomani is big on, like, this is nauseating, all the things you got to deal with when being on WNBA Twitter and, you know, specifically the Caitlin fans. And we know her play and the attendance and the attention that she brings to the league is great. Is there a potential that it actually hurts this league, everything that surrounds Caitlin Clark, not her, but everything that surrounds it, potentially turns people away from, like, getting invested in the WNBA?
I don't think it turns people away from the W. It might turn people away from her. might turn people away from the fever. I don't know. Maybe it does.
And some of it is online. Some of it, if we have a show like us and somebody posts our clip and we don't, it's like if you don't say the right thing about Caitlyn and you just bombard it. Al Duncan talks about this. That's why I don't have to deal with it. But
she's like the white Beyonce. It's like the beehive.
Yeah, just bombard it with.
I didn't love Cowboy Carter. Oh God, yeah. Don't ever tweet about Beyonce. You're dead in the water.
But it's like.
Same for
you. Know, you get to the people who are covering the sport, or like an Al Duncan, I don't think she'd shy away, but just somebody on, or a Bomani Jones, who's like, man, every time I say anything basketball wise about this young lady, I got to deal with this. Like, oh, I'm out of here.
It's not that different than Angel, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like mm-hmm. people have, it's, what's the term called? They tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
We have taken these extreme stances with two very different players who were linked together in college and now are linked together in the pros. One's black, one's white. It's like the ultimate, you know, powder keg here. And, yo, Angel's got to develop a touch. Like, she's got to shoot better at the rim. Oh, what are you, a Caitlin fan? Oh, you're one of those? Like, nah, man, she was 0 of 8 at the basket. Mm-hmm. Like, I just watched basketball. I don't know that it. I don't know. I don't think. I don't know if it turns people away. It's a fair question. It may keep you from commenting on it, though.
Mm.
It may keep you from like diving in onto the conversation.
Which is
because you're right. I do feel like those two players can't be evaluated. Like, you can say whatever you want to about Asia. Mm. You can say whatever you want to about Stephanie Dolson, Kelsey Plum, but you say something about Angel, they coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
You say something about Caitlin, they coming for you. And it's silly.
Which is part of, like, that's why NBA, that's part of the reason why the NBA is so popular. NBA Twitter, right? Like, being able to comment and have these discourses on the players, on the teams, all this other stuff. And if it gets to the point where people are like, I can't even do this with the WNBA. Yeah, I'll watch. I like the game and all this other stuff. But I can't even talk about the game freely. I'm out of here. Some people might feel that way. So I hope not. It was just something
it's a
I heard
fair
them
question.
Talking about.
Like, it's a fair question. I don't know what their not analytics, what's the engagement? Like their impressions, like on a big Sky Fever game. I don't know what their impressions look like, or maybe a Liberty Storm game. Like what are their impressions look like? During that, it would be interesting to see, and I'm sure a study has been done. It would be interesting to see those numbers in games that Caitlin and Angel are involved in, either together or separately, mm-hmm. and then games that everyone else is involved in. What do those engagement levels look like on social media?
Yeah.
'Cause I feel like most people, I mean, Twitter is certainly a place to have conversations. But more often than not, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Twitter is a place to go complain.
For sure.
It's like it's almost like you go there for an extreme reaction. Like the last time I picked up to tweet something and didn't was when Ty hit the shot. When Ty hit that shot, it was like, what am I going to say? No one cares. And I put my phone down. It's like, no one cares what I'm doing in this exact moment. I think I've tweeted once and it was, okay, the lottery's rigged. Y'all got it. Like, yeah, that's okay. This is stupid. We all know what it is. But like, I mean, you tweet a lot, but you have like either when the Knicks win and beat Boston or when Ty hits the shot and they lose. It's like I feel like most people have extreme reactions one way or another, and it's not just a discourse. It is an extreme emotion, and you put it on Twitter. You put it on social media.
And some of the stuff, it's probably not good. I shouldn't say it's not good, but it goes against, to a certain degree, what got me here. Like, before I had a radio show and all this other stuff, I'd be engaging left and right with people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, I say something, you say something back. Like, let's talk about it. Yeah, let's have this discourse over 140 characters. Now, and I don't think it's because I'm got a different job or a title or something like that. Now, maybe after 11 years, 12 years being on Twitter and seeing how people interact, a lot of the times I just use it to say my thoughts. And that's about it. I'm not here to go back and forth with anybody. Mm-hmm. This is how I feel about what I'm seeing or what I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying your opinion doesn't matter, but that's your opinion. That's how you feel about it. I'm not going to argue about how you feel about it compared to how I feel. We don't have to argue about that.
Who wants to go on social media and argue with strangers?
Many people. Like, it's a $1 billion website.
I know people do, but it's just like just like going on social media just to get mad or whatever, just argue about stuff. It's like,
Everybody got their own opinion. Feel how you feel. I feel how I feel about it. Like, it's crazy. I tell you how I feel about the Kings going after Jrue Holiday. You're wrong. All right. Okay. Whatever. No, I don't even mean to be like this, but I don't care what you think about it. This is how I feel. You may feel differently, and that's cool.
And my thing with that is always, what is it, 280, 240, whatever the characters are now, why would I present something with limited context that's going to spark a reaction from people when I have 4 hours to explain to you how I feel about something?
That's the whole other thing.
With tone and delivery and all of that stuff taken into account. You can read, hey, I hope you have a great day, and just be as happy as possible on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Or you can read, hey, hope you have a great day, and walk around pissed off all day.
Right.
Like, there's no tone or context to what you're saying, and people will say, I could tell you, hey, man, I think the Kings need to be open to trading Malik Monk. I think they should be. Mm-hmm. And then someone logs on and sees a tweet that says, I think the Kings should be open to trading Malik Monk. Oh, wow. Wow, that's what we're doing? What a bum franchise. God, local media.
It's facts. It's how it goes.